You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Thank you so much for being with us. We're with you till 6 p.m. tonight. And, we got a big show lined up. A lot going on. A lot to talk about. 9 days, single digits away from kickoff. Feels good, not going to lie. Bear, are you feeling it this afternoon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got the U.S. Open on, Tennessee football. I mean, we're getting down to it. Started getting a little bit tingly when I was driving home a little while ago, thinking about the fact that we're, 9 days out now, Russ?
Well, you got that kind of chill in the air too, a little fall type feeling. So I mean, it's good.
Yeah, come Sunday morning, it's game week.
Beautiful. Trey Wallace, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon to you, Russell. Hope you're doing well.
Doing all right, thank you. We got a big show lined up. John Hodge is going to join the festivities to talk about the U.S. Open and Tennessee football. We've got, make sure I pronounce this correctly, Hale McGranahan. Did I get that, Trey?
Yeah, I guess so. We'll find out when he gets him on the phone a little bit.
He covers South Carolina for 247. He's going to join in hour number two. Big day for South Carolina. They decided on a quarterback today. And it wasn't the one. I just sort of assumed that Ryan Helinski was going to win that job. And that is not the case. They have named Colin Hill their starter at quarterback. He's a grad transfer from Colorado State. So he was Bobo's quarterback at Colorado State, and he goes to Columbia. He's from South Carolina originally. So he goes, I guess he's familiar with the system. He bears a striking resemblance. He's like a pretty boy version of Rick Butler from The Blitz. Have you seen his picture, Bear?
No.
Go look at my Twitter feed. Tell me he doesn't look like a handsome version of Rick Butler.
Yeah, Rick Butler is kind of handsome in his own right.
Okay.
You say
no, I wouldn't. But if you say so, okay.
Easy now. Well, now I'm looking up Rick. Hold on.
Pull it up, Russell. Yeah. Russell.
Two tweets in the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Russell Smith podcast. There's Russell Smith.
Yeah.
Colin Hill. I mean, he looks like he could be like Rick's beefier, like first cousin or something, maybe
a little bit.
Huh?
Like I said, a more handsome version of Rick. It's unbelievable that this guy. Let me ask you guys, and he beats out Ryan Helinski. I just sort of assumed he was going to get that job, and he gets beaten out. I'm going to ask you, we'll go and make this the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. How worried are you about the scratch that. I'm going to reword that. That's a window into my soul. Always pessimistic. Let me reword that. How confident are you that we're going to beat South Carolina? How confident are you? Very confident? Are you somewhat confident? Are you not very confident? Or do you have zero confidence? Let's take the pulse of the people this afternoon. Put the poll in the field.
Let's do it.
Well, go ahead, Bear. How confident are you?
Yeah, I'm very confident.
Very confident.
Yeah.
You think we're going to beat the Cox?
Oh, yeah. Beat them silly. Just pound them.
Trey?
Confident.
You're confident that Tennessee's going to beat South Carolina?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the edge right now.
The edge of confident and very confident, or confident and not very confident?
Confident and not very confident.
Okay. Drew, what do you think?
I'm like in the middle between not confident and confident.
So you're the same as Trey?
Somewhat.
Probably less confident than Trey.
Like if you had to guess, you think we're going to win. But that's kind of what the FPI, doesn't it show us like 52% chance to win or something like that? Like, yeah, we're technically a favorite, but it's still kind of a toss-up.
I mean, like the one thing that concerns me the most was with Pruitt saying yesterday that for the last four or five practices, we've only had four scholarship wide receivers out there. So,
you just don't throw the ball.
Well, I mean,
just run the single wing. Put Gray and Chandler back there with a fullback, somebody with his hand in the dirt. Just run the ball. Just put Jimmy the Jet at quarterback. Let him run around. That was what I wanted to see happen a year ago against South Carolina. Remember, that was after the Alabama debacle. And everybody was like, you can't trot him out there again. You just can't. And I was like, look, you can't trot him out there anymore, Garantano. Just Jennings is the best player on the team. Put the ball in his hands every play. Let him run a lot of zone read type stuff and throw it maybe 5 or 10 times and just see what happens. Of course, you know, I'm a moron, so – That didn't happen, and of course it's exactly what should not have happened because we ended up going out there and put the hurt on them. But we don't need to. That's not going to happen. Are you getting off into fantasy land here in segment number one, Russell? What are you doing? Come on, man, pull it together. Got a long way to go here. How confident are you against South Carolina? I guess I'm with Drew and Trey. I can't say that I'm very confident. I'm leaning towards confidence. If I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Tennessee in a close game. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. I think it's going to be sloppy. I think there's going to be some crazy things happen that are just unpredictable that we can't see right now. Maybe, you know, a pick six or a kick return for a touchdown, some crazy special teams play or something that could tilt the balance of the game. And I think that whoever's going to win is going to need a little bit of good fortune. I think luck is going to play into it.
Samaglia, 60-yarder.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to feel pretty confident about our kicking game. Or do you? Because Pruitt was on there earlier this week saying he was having trouble coaching the kicking game because so many guys are out.
Well, I mean, Brett Samaglia did just land on the preseason all coaches team, first team, by the way.
If you're the coaches, I know NFL talked about doing this. They can't bubble the entire teams the way they did in the NBA, but maybe you just bubble your quarterbacks since that position is so important. Like, you're the Titans. With Ryan Tannehill, you are a legitimate Super Bowl or at least AFC championship contender. With Logan Woodside, you are struggling to be 500. You're playing for draft position at that point. If you're college teams, SEC teams, do you consider doing something? Obviously, they don't have the stomach to bubble the entire team. Do you take your quarterback, your kicker, the guys you can't do without, the guys that if you lose them, Toto, I think, fits into this. Like, right, he's the quarterback of our defense. The drop-off between him and Aaron Beasley is – precipitous. Like, do you just take the guys that you absolutely cannot stand, your five core guys, and stick them in, I don't know, like knock down a couple of walls in the complex and just build them a little bachelor pad in there? Like, guys, don't leave. That's what I would do.
I mean, I would too.
You can't. Can't do all that.
Sure you can.
Why can't you? Sure you can. I think it's irresponsible not to do it.
There you go.
Money on the line.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I'll be interested to see if the Big Ten goes those measures. Pac-12.
I don't think the Big Ten's going to be able to do it. Pac-12 ain't getting started. You can't go outside in California, Oregon, and Washington right now.
Oh, they're going to play football.
Yeah, they're going to do it. They might have to wait a couple of weeks. Might have to wait.
It's going to be interesting to see how they're able to do it.
Might have to wait for the rains to come.
USC. Right now, it's safer to practice football inside the grounds of the old Chernobyl nuclear reactor than it is to.
Oh, that's not true.
You know,
stop.
The worst air quality on the planet is currently on the west coast of the United States.
Yeah, you know what happens? It's going to rain eventually, and it'll go back to normal. It's not going to be that way forever. Like, yeah, it's bad
when?
Now because, like, the whole state's on fire. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist.
When,
I'm
right?
not the farmer's almanac. But I know it's going to rain eventually. Well, you don't think it's going to rain anymore? We had fire, so, like, rain doesn't exist in California anymore? Come on, dude.
I think it might be a couple more weeks.
Oh, are you Ken Weathers over here? Are you Al Roker? Do you have a meteorology degree now? All of a sudden, it's going to be several weeks until it rains in California?
I don't know. I mean, it's the dry season. It's not the rainy season out there.
Wow. I didn't know that. It doesn't rain in California anymore.
That's what the song says. It never rains in Southern California.
Maybe they won't play football.
Yeah, I think it's hysterical. The Big Ten finally blinks, and then all of a sudden, everybody and their brothers trying to get their season back on track. What a bunch of morons.
Well, they're morons for shutting it down in the first place.
Yeah. Power play they tried.
But it's not surprising to me that, you know, everybody thought, here's the thing about the domino theory. Everybody thought when the Big Ten shut it down, or at least they thought, that they would be the first domino and everybody else would fall. And then that didn't happen. And really, in reality, what the truth was that the SEC was the only domino that mattered, the one in the middle of the table. And when, you know, the Big Ten, they have this distorted view of reality where they think they're the biggest domino. And when the SEC didn't fall, and they're like, what's happening? How did that not – I don't understand. It's like, yeah, you don't understand. And now that they've decided to come back, everybody else is falling in line. They're like, oh, well, I guess we should play. But it is an interesting web that we weave sometimes in the sports universe, isn't it? Interesting web that we weave. UT has canceled spring break.
No. Those poor kids.
Those poor kids indeed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Feel real bad for those poor kids right now.
The second round of testing, we're testing three times a week now, Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So presumably Tennessee tested the entire team yesterday.
They did.
We'll see if there's any COVID casualties or contact tracing casualties coming out of that. Jeremy Pruitt's going to meet with the media again tonight. We'll see if he – is Jeremy Pruitt going to put on his sad sack face again, Bear, tonight and come out and talk about, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to play football. We only had four guys out
nah.
there. Or do you think he's going to sack up and start like acting like a football coach again?
I think he's going to start acting like a football coach again.
Okay. Are you kind of
– rumor has it that – maybe somebody, I don't know, like battle captain told him to, you know, sack up.
Oh, really?
Quit doing the sad sack routine.
That was getting, like, I thought he was going to come out in a toboggan hat or something and, like, his thick-rimmed glasses and turn into, he's about to turn into Emo Pruitt.
Eeyore Pruitt. God.
I was just listening
everybody
to Dashboard Confessional in my office, decided to come out here. I've been wallowing in a darkness that envelops my soul. Like, jeez,
yeah,
like,
sound like
dude.
Been listening to the,
start listening to Alabama
listening to
again. Keep bringing us down, coach. But we get it. We get it. You're in contact tracing hell. We'll try to give you the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't mean we won't go full red on Saturdays, but after we sleep it off, we'll come to our senses Sunday, and we'll try and put it back in perspective. We give you the benefit that just don't go like 2-8 or anything, man. I don't know if I could make it through that kind of season. I'm sorry?
You think he's just sitting there, reading the bell jar?
I think he's legitimately upset and down about it. Like, this wasn't part of the plan. This is supposed to be year three. This is supposed to be the year we become competitive in all our games and take another step and big step in the right direction. Now that's all up in the air. But like Josh Pate said yesterday, it's COVID-ing on the other side of the field too. I mean, they're all dealing with this. And yeah, if you get dealt an unfair hand, if we play South Carolina with 20 guys out and they've only got 2 or 3 guys out, then yeah, we'll take that into account when rendering a verdict of judgment on the game as far as whether or not you did as well as you're supposed to. But in the meantime,
I think what's eating at him is that I think he really thinks that Alabama and Georgia aren't playing by the same rules that we are.
Yeah, he's a paranoid SEC football coach, and he might be right. He probably is right.
Sure he is.
And he's made his point now. Like, we all get it. But, I mean, he's been on this rant. Like, he did it on Feinbaum yesterday. He did it over the weekend. And then he did it last week. It's like, okay, 3 public appearances in a row where you've kind of gone off about all this stuff. And we get it. Okay, we get it. I don't know. Is that being too harsh, Trey? Should he keep banging this drum, or should he get back to being a football coach?
Well, I think all of them are going to bang the drum if something comes up and something goes down when it comes to testing.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, Trey, is they won't be banging that drum if we go out there and we beat Georgia in the third week of the season because they've got 30 guys out and we've only got 2 or 3 out. We're not going to – Pruitt's not going to get up there, well, we got lucky today. It's like, no, man, this is a major step for our program. We went into Athens and took down the mighty Georgia Bulldogs with the goofy spikes on their collars.
I think
you guys see that, the new unis? Oh, my God. How terrible.
Hideous.
Every team in the SEC this year is going to quietly have something wrong with them when it comes to players missing games. I'm interested to see how many Tennessee can get back. Now, I want to say something real quick before I take a break. The whole wide receiver thing about only having 4 scholarship wide receivers, that was overblown a bit by Jeremy Pruitt.
It's like, last time I saw it, like, you only need 2 or 3 at a time.
Well, I'm talking about the numbers. I'm talking about the guys that were out there. That was a bit overblown.
All right. Quick timeout. The drive continues. We're on down a friend of the show, John Hodge. We'll get his thoughts on Emo Pruitt. What did you call him, Bear? Eeyore Pruitt.
Yeah.
This is the part of the...
Not a good look on him,
Russ. You got to start building us back up. You got to start kicking this thing into gear, man. We got 9 days here. Build us up. Don't tear us down before the... Listen, if it has to be torn down, trust us. We're Tennessee fans. We got this. We can tear it down. I mean, it ain't nothing for us to light a few torches, grab a couple of pitchforks, and go down to the Clinton Highway Walmart and stage a demonstration right now. We can do that. Like, we don't need your help, Jeremy. We know what you're dealing with. You coach your team. Leave the wallowing in self-pity to us. It's what we're good at. Haji, coming up next. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
I'm ready. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. How confident are you Tennessee's going to beat South Carolina very early? Less than 1% of precincts reporting. 0.4% of the audience says somewhat confident. 22.2% says very confident. 8.3% say not very confident. And nary a soul, 0%, has expressed a vote of no confidence. Zero confidence. Nobody. In this town, so far, a solid almost 90%, either somewhat or very confident, Tennessee beats South Carolina. How's that? Tennessee fans feeling it a little bit. This is what we do. Let's bring in John Hodge Haji, this is what we do, isn't it, buddy? Every year, like clockwork, we talk ourselves into it.
Somewhat confident. As always, you got to put your orange glasses on at some point while you're undefeated.
Oh, we were like by the time we kicked off against West Virginia 2 years ago, I was just convinced that Pruitt was going to kick the door in, and we were just going to like, you know, they Will Greer and all those pro wide receivers. We were just going to lock them down, and yeah, I totally thought we were winning that game. We got just absolutely housed.
That played out.
And let's not talk about the season opener last year. Let's not talk about that.
We should be 1-0 this year, playing Furman, and be looking forward to 2-0 here in a couple of days. That'd be kind of nice to be above 500 for probably the rest of the year.
So Charlotte, I believe, is supposed to play North Carolina this weekend. They had to cancel already.
Yeah. So how do you even know if we're going to play? If when you say if a team has 30 players out, will they even play the game?
That would be so disappointing. I don't even want to think about that. If we get – after all this, after this 6 months of will they, won't they, for 6 months, half a year, we get it to next week, and then all they're like, yeah, we can't do it.
No, 6 weeks ago, I didn't think we'd play.
Or six months,
I didn't think we were playing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 6 weeks ago, even before, right when they came out with the schedule change, maybe. Well, last time I saw you in person, basically, still, you know, really didn't think it was going to happen. Yeah. But here we are. We're almost there.
I went back and forth on it. There was a time, June, July, when I didn't think it was going to happen. And, I mean, I think we all agree that something's going to happen. We might not get all 10 games in, and that's kind of intriguing in and of itself, that element of the unknown. But we're going to see Tennessee play football at some point.
If you got the rapid testing going and you got two deep at every position, somebody out there, freshman or walk-on or whoever it is, let's play the game.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you handicap it. I mean, you can't. It's hard to predict the record or, you know, even pick the game before Saturday morning until you know who's going to play. I'm somewhat confident we're going to beat USC, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We're better at O-line, running back, and wide receiver than they are. We're better at defensive line, defensive back, linebackers, and special teams than they are. Will Muschamp is still their coach, right?
Last I checked, yes.
We already got that monkey off our back. He's never beaten us again. That only leaves one position that I'm worried about.
Unfortunately, the most important position on the field, one that can cancel all those advantages you just listed out.
Correct.
Well.
And when you say the kicker's name, given the respect he's due, it's Automaglia.
Automaglia.
You knew that. I think you started that.
We get to keep him next year, too. I'm hoping he comes back for a fifth year.
That would be nice.
Unless he goes, unless he thinks he can go pro. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, Haji. I think that, you know, you talk about it's impossible to handicap it, and it's impossible to predict what's going to happen. And it's also impossible to judge, I think, what just happened. It's impossible to predict what's going to happen in the future. And I think it's going to be really difficult to judge what happened in the past. You know, if you win because the other team was decimated, is that a true victory? If you lose, if we end up losing.
It goes in the win column, it is.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, if they lose.
That may be the kind of evening up factor in some of those games. When we're playing five of the top 10 teams in the country. I guess we dropped 8 spots yesterday.
Do what?
In the coaches' poll, I think we dropped 8 spots.
Oh, because
the Big Ten back in.
Yeah. Okay, it was nice what lasted. We were number 15 for 2 days. That was like
we're officially ahead of Iowa State. See, that's the Big 12: Iowa State, Kansas State, somebody else, right? Lost to whatever that Sun Belt Conference teams.
Well,
what do you expect coming in?
Yeah, exactly. And if you win the first two games, if Tennessee beats South Carolina, Missouri, and by the way, Missouri announced yesterday they've got 10 guys out for Alabama.
Yeah.
So not that they were going to win that game anyway,
they might have
but
just opted out probably.
I mean, it's funny you mentioned that. Maybe that's what old Eli's thinking up there is, you know what, we'll just go ahead and get our teeth kicked in by Alabama. Nobody expects any differently, but let's get ready for Tennessee and basically
just,
maybe we can win that one.
No fans next week. That's another factor in our favor, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Bobo factor, new system offensively. They'll be breaking in, new quarterback, all that stuff. So there's just a lot of unknowns as we head into the season. Haji, tell me about you of course, are our resident golf guru. The U.S. Open begins today up there in what's the
Mamaroneck, New York.
Mamaroneck, New York.
Winged foot.
Okay, winged foot. There you go. What do we need to know about the U.S. Open as we get started today?
It's the U.S. Open, so that means hard, firm, fast greens and deep, thick, gnarly rough. And that's the way it's going to be. There have been five previous U.S. Opens at Wingfoot, and only once has the winner been under par.
Really?
So, yeah, I think they've got it set up a little easy today, maybe for pace of play, because it's going to be darkness is going to be a factor, because they're grinding out of the, you know, they're just, it's taking them a while to play. It's just because it's tough as it is, but you're seeing a few low scores out there and from the guys that you would expect to be there. So the cream will rise to the top. I say that people say that sometimes it's a medium hitter has a better chance in the U.S. Open because they hit straight, or the straighter hitters, but the fairways are so narrow that you want to be, the longer hitters are going to hit it. Everybody's going to be in the rough, so you want to be as close to the green as possible, so you have a shorter iron in your hand, and that favors all the long hitters out there, and that's probably who you're going to see, one of those guys win it, and those guys there. At the end of the week, JT, Rory, if he can play the weekend, he had very much success the weekend in the last few months, but he's new daddy. So maybe that'll put his mind at ease a little more now, and make, you know, not put as much pressure on himself for that. But, you know, with DJ and Rom and Woodland and Shoffley, those guys will probably all hang around, and you'll hear those names for the next 4 days, I would imagine.
Now, did I see where Tiger had a couple of nice – he found his putter, it looked like, this morning. I saw a couple of clips of him knocking down some long putts. That was his big problem at the PGA. But I'm looking through the leaderboard. Looks like he must have faded.
He was even par with two to play, and that's tied for 27th right now. But then he went bogey, double bogey.
Oh.
Had a disastrous double bogey on the last hole.
Complete disaster.
Two chips and missed a short putt. It had a lot of break to it, but. So he really kind of threw two shots away there, but now he's tied for 87. So it can happen that quickly, 60-spot difference.
Haji, here's something that just blew me away. They just flashed it up on the screen. Phil Mickelson has hit 14,477 tee shots since hitting his last fairway at Wingfoot. 2006, the ninth hole in the final round.
Man. That's funny.
And then another buddy of mine who might be even more golf crazy than you are. I don't know if you saw it on the Golf Channel. They did DJ with all of his, tee shots that he's hit on this, this tear he's been on. Would have missed the fairways at Wingfoot 80% of the time.
Wow.
I don't think people understand how narrow the fairways are, the way they've got the
fairways set up. And he's playing
up
with, I haven't seen much of that. I've had it on in the background since this afternoon. And
there, Haji?
Oh, no.
Lost Haji. Lost connection there. Why don't you see if we can get him back on. Oh, there he is. Sorry, Haji. We lost you for a second there, buddy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're back now.
I don't know what you heard, but DeChambeau hit driver off the first tee, and DJ hit iron, and DeChambeau hit the fairway way down there and shipped it on and made birdie, and DJ hit iron and hit it in the trees. So,
go figure, huh?
I don't know if that strategy will play, but he made par. So I don't know. What was Bear? What was the point about Mickelson? Has he hit a fairway today?
I don't think he has. I mean, every time I've looked up, I've seen him in that, you know, the six-inch rough that's right off the fairway. So, I don't know. I enjoy the U.S. Open, Hodges, because I don't know about you. I get tired of the tournaments where the winner's at 20 under par.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's kind of
like
fun
gold
to see them suffer,
yeah,
complain, be miserable. Yeah. I agree with you.
So I'm looking at ESPN.
The best players rise to the top. That's who should win, is the best players. And anybody can get hot on a birdie streak on those easy courses. And it's hard to figure who's going to win. But, yeah, I like this too, Bear.
All right, Hodge, before we let you out of here, give me a pick to click. Who do you got? Who's going to hoist the cup coming up on Sunday?
Well, JT is 5 under and has the lead. Is that too easy?
I mean, that's pretty good first round.
I've got Rahm in a pool because I had the fourth choice, and that's about all I had. So I'm going to try to pull him through. DJ's 2 over. I'm going to say he's his hot streak. He just won $15 million last week and a half ago. So he may just still be coming down from that. You know, JT, I'd love to see Rory stay strong for 4 full days. Those are the three I'd like to see. Now, I wouldn't like to see Thomas win and JT. I'd like to see Rory or Rahm winning, I guess. Shoffley's a sentimental favorite. But, by the way, before I go, Lou Holtz made a career out of being that whiny guy talking bad about his team. So maybe it'll be all right for Pruitt to do it.
I mean, do you agree that that's a bad look, or are we being a little nitpicky? Is this like 9 games out, Tennessee fans freaking out a little bit here, and we need to chill?
Yeah, Tennessee fans need to chill in general. Yes.
Well, don't hold your breath.
Paul Twitter needs to chill in general. Yeah, let's play the games. Let's go see what happens for a few weeks.
Thanks, Hodge.
See you guys.
See you, Hodge.
All right, man. John Hodge.
Thanks,
making
Bear.
His presence felt this afternoon here on The Drive. Who are you pulling for U.S. Open? Who do you want to see win it, Bear?
I mean, I normally always pull for Tiger, but I mean his record at Wingfoot is abysmal.
Didn't he win? Isn't this where he won the shootout with when he was playing the last major he won before the last majors, the last Masters, when he was on the gimpy knee in the playoff against?
No, that wasn't at Wingfoot.
Wasn't? Okay.
No. He finished 27th in, I think, the late 90s, and then this was where he missed his first cut in a major. Like, it snapped his streak of, like, 47 majors back in the early 2000s.
Why do they call it Wingfoot?
No, I mean,
he tells
people this is not his favorite course at all.
Why do they call it Wingfoot? Is that an Indian thing?
I have no idea, man. It's something you might have should ask, Hodge. I don't know. It's a beautiful course. This is one of the ones where I'd really like to go. And I mean, it's just, it's fantastic. I put it up there with like Augusta and Bethpage Black and Pebble Beach and some of the others. They're just really, really beautiful.
Aesthetically
courses.
Pleasing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I always not necessarily pull for Tiger, but it's just so much interesting when he's at the top, and it seemed like he was fighting to be in the hunt before collapsed right there at the end.
Still not out of it. I'm telling you, these guys will come back to even par, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they usually
do. Heard Hodge.
They usually do. We'll see. Yeah. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. A couple of questions for you. So we get set to go to the phones. How confident are you 9 days out, South Carolina game? We're going to win this thing? We're going to beat them? Is something crazy going to happen? Muschamp going to pull another one out against us?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of hoping that Pruitt broke that, whatever that weird mojo that Crazy Eyes had on us.
And then number two, what was number two? I forgot. Friday brain fart. You like that?
Well, it's Thursday, number one.
Oh, do you think Pruitt is being a little whiny? You think he'd be a little whiny, but you need to shut up and quit whining about the COVID. We get it, Jeremy. We get it. You got contact tracing all over the place. Like, just coach your team.
I'm gonna cut him a little bit of slack. I mean, I know how frustrated we get, you know, about being very suspicious.
That's a good point. The drive telling anybody to stop whining is really hypocritical.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not after you. And like I said yesterday, he got a really good taste, and finally, I think it sunk in last year down there in Tuscaloosa, and I think it's driving him crazy more so than him being whiny.
Take a quick time out. The drive continues. Your phone calls coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
The drive.
It's time to celebrate the NFL season.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Barrett, Trey back with you. Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. How confident are you Tennessee beats South Carolina? 59% of Twitter respondents say they are somewhat confident. Well, that just went down. Large chunk of votes coming in from Loudoun County this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 54.1%. The polls just closed out there. 54.1% now say they're somewhat confident. 27.3% say they're very confident. So, let's see if I can math this real quickly. That is 73.4% either somewhat or very confident. Tennessee fans feeling it. Tennessee fans feeling a W.
Where do you guys think this would be if we could pretend like if there was no corona? I feel like we'd all be frothing at the mouth right now.
If we were opening at South Carolina, a packed William Bryce Stadium with no virus or contact tracing concerns?
Yeah, and you know.
That's an interesting question.
We'd go in there with all our bullets loaded.
I think we'd feel about the same probably. I mean, like all those things are different, but I still feel like we would feel like we're the better team, but it's an SEC road game. And our quarterback play is a giant question mark.
I agree with that.
I don't know, man.
Go ahead, Trey.
Go ahead, Trey.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, my big thing on it is when are Tennessee fans actually going to just be okay with what they have for this season and stop? You saw the last six games of the year. I mean, are we going to go through this whole darn season again if it's a question mark? Because if everybody's hoping that Harrison Bailey's going to come in and be some kind of savior, I got news for you. Brian Maurer took over Harrison Bailey's reps yesterday in practice. So, you know, you could continue thinking.
Well, what happened there? Hold on. Now, what happened there?
Guys, y'all got the notes that I sent you this morning. I don't know why y'all are shocked.
I'm trying to set you up, Trey. Go ahead. I'm just pretending. Play along with me. Theater of the mind. Let's go.
Good Lord.
Okay. Well, Maurer's hamstring injury. Maurer's been dealing with a hamstring injury. And
of course he has.
He hasn't been able to participate in a good amount of these practice and scrimmages. So when he returned to practice, it wasn't yesterday. Day before yesterday, he took over the reps that Bailey was getting with the twos, with Maurer. So, you know, I mean,
Bailey backers aren't going to like that. Your boy got his reps taken, Bear. My dude Maurer walked in and said, "This is my show.
Here's
the bench.
Line,
go
right?
Sit on it."
You just wait just a second. Here's the bottom line.
The bench right over there. Go sit.
Now, number one.
Chris
number
Hansen,
one.
Take a seat. Take a seat right over there.
Number one. Now, you be quiet. You back up, buddy. I'll tell you right now that unless he's had some kind of brain transplant, Helen Keller can read an SEC defense better than Garantano, okay? The lawn dart, Brian Maurer will last maybe a quarter, if we're lucky. Shrout, who knows on him? So there's a better than average chance that my boy Harrison Bailey will get to play this year.
That's right.
Your backup quarterback, when Tennessee releases their depth chart on Monday, I have a really good feeling that you're going to see the name JT Schrout.
Your boy's fourth string, Bear. He's fourth string.
That's, he won't be for long because, like I said,
you know who was third and fourth string freshman?
Darren Tano can't read a defense. What's that, Drew?
Who's what now?
You know who was third and fourth string his freshman year as well? Peyton Manning.
Yeah, let's not put too much pressure on the young man. Let's go ahead with the Peyton comparison. Oh, again, I just got to lament the fact that Jeremy Pruitt, Jim Chaney, Chris Winkie don't have access to the coaching brilliance of Bear and Drew. I mean, if only those morons would listen to the show, they'd realize that their fourth-string quarterback was the second coming of Peyton Manning, and they quit fooling around with these other three clowns.
I'd just like to take a moment to give Big Josh a shout-out for one of the greatest nicknames ever created on this show.
Yeah, there's another one. Dart. The Brain Trust. Who is Big Josh, Bear, Phil, and now Drew Nicholson has thrown his lot in it. This is the company you want to keep. Beginning of your career, you're trying to get a broadcasting career off the ground, and you want to throw in with these three idiots.
I mean, Lon Dart / the Fainting Goat.
Oh, God.
Helen Keller. And then you got JT Schrout.
Lord have mercy. We've gone full crazy on the drive.
I mean, even Josh Dobbs was a third, fourth string his freshman year.
Well, no kidding.
True. It's true. I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that Bailey could eventually play. Just saying that if you think that he should play immediately, you're basically calling Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt stupid.
I don't think I ever said he should play immediately.
So, but these quarterbacks that you just referred to as Helen Keller and the Lawn Dart, those are the guys you want to play then. You're talking about both sides of your mouth, man. It's ridiculous.
I think it'll be academic, Russ. I think that sure, he's a starter now. He'll probably crap down his leg, and then, the Lawn Dart will do what he does. He'll look good like three or four plays and then do something stupid and get driven into the ground like a tent peg.
Today's the day, boys. Today is the practice. They're going to start. They're putting in the whole game plan for Carolina. I'm sure there's going to be some separation when it comes to snaps at different positions. Now, look, they're trying to shore up some offensive line spots and secondary and linebacker, but quarterback-wise,
do you think
the battle ends.
Do you think we'll keep it? What battle? I mean, it's Garantano's job.
No, I meant for two.
For two? You think it'll be Schrout?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that they will go with a watered-down, simplified game plan because of the fact that so many guys have missed so much practice and because of the fact that you don't know, like Wednesday, you could get a slew of positive/contact tracing guys that have to suddenly sit out, and all of a sudden you don't know who you've got available? Do you think they try and keep it simple this year as much as possible?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, at least the first 2 weeks of the season, I think Tennessee with just talent alone can go into Columbia and win that football game. Mm. I think that third week, okay, things start to get interesting. But Missouri, I think they can beat just on talent alone. But here's the thing, okay, these wide receivers know the offense. Garantano knows the offense. The line does. I mean, it's not like this is a something new. I mean, you get these guys to go out there and run the same darn offense that you're trying to. It's just you've got certain spots that you're not weak in, but you're having to try to fill. And I think that is the big thing. And also, as we get closer, I mean, we're on a Thursday, so technically we are 9 days away from the season, and we still don't know if they're going to have a starting right guard available or right tackle.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It'd be nice if the NCAA could, just make a decision on Cade Mays. So we only got 9 days. It's no biggie. I'm just trying to make plans here. If you could work that into your busy schedule, that would be nice. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Barrel, have your top four at four. We'll go back to Winged Foot for a look at the leaderboard. U.S. Open day one. Tennessee football news, your phone calls, a lot to get to. Stay with us.
The Drive.